Most of you are probably way off because I'm only 23 years old. Tune into The Shakespeare Show between noon and 1 p.m. on Wednesdays. It's songs from before the 1920s to alternative stuff today. Plus jokes and riddles. All sorts of fun stuff. Just put any of it on your iTunes if you need to. Pretty soon it'll be coming out on albums.
Good evening and welcome to another African Rhythms. We have a very special edition tonight, and we're celebrating, of course, it's March 8th, International Women's Day. And for this special, we have a poet, local poet, activist, writer, actor, Siobhan Barker, who's been here for International Women's Day before in the past. So she'll be phoning in, and also we're bringing back Terry Jones, the daughter of the legendary Linda Jones. So stick around. We're going to celebrate in all kinds of ways International Women's Day here on CITR on 101.9 FM. But we're going to start with a track we played before, and that's a track called Give Yourself to Jesus, the voices of faith, hope, and love. and you're listening to a special African Rhythms International Women's Day. And we've got Shabam Barker is going to be calling in.
Hello.
Oh, hey, Shabam, how are you?
Good, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So on this International Women's Day, thank you for playing a part. And
yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. So, yeah, a couple things I wanted to talk about. So what are you up to tonight out there in Vancouver?
Well, tonight is the opening of the Growing Room Festival, which is running for the next 10 days
Okay. Here
and about Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight's opening is a DJed and cabaret event at the Fox.
I see.
So I'm over here kind of doing double duty as one of the performers in the festival, not this evening's event, but in the festival.
I see. Oh, that's
on Sunday,
that's great.
March 10th.
Yeah, awesome. Well, over here at African Rhythms, we were thinking, Shabam, that the best way to pay tribute on International Women's Day is to think about some of the women singers locally here in Vancouver that perhaps, in some respects, didn't get the recognition that they deserved.
Oh, I'm sure there's quite a few.
Yeah, well, you know what? Well, why don't we just start with a couple of the most recognized? Because, you know what's interesting, Shabam? Like, despite the fact that Eleanor Collins, what did she get? The Order of Canada or something like that?
Indeed, yeah. She did. Yeah,
yeah.
In 2014, I believe it was.
At 95 years old.
At 95 years old.
Yeah. Well, you know, Shabam, as I think you're aware, she was in films and had a TV show, actually, here in the 50s.
She did indeed, yeah. Mm. And, you know, some would say she was Canada's first lady of jazz.
Yeah. Well, you know, she... It seems that in terms of a nationally televised radio show, it seems that she would have been the first, not only here but even in America, that was the first woman to do that.
She was the first Black woman to have a nationally televised show in both Canada and the States. You're saying?
I believe so. I believe woman. Period. As far as I know.
Oh, I'm not certain about that. I know that the stats on her being the first Black woman, that I've heard that before,
mm-hmm.
most definitely.
Yeah.
But that would be quite something. I believe...
Well, that was the beginning of television then, so perhaps that is possible.
Indeed. She may well have been the first woman of African descent to have her own televised show.
Mm-hmm.
Both in Canada and the States, indeed. She, and the fact that it was, entirely attributed to her name in terms of it being the Eleanor Show.
Right, the Eleanor Show. And from what I can read here, she made her television debut on CBC in 1954. And she's also known as the First Lady of Jazz.
Yes, yep, that's my knowledge of her as well. I can recall seeing a clip where Marcus Mosley, local powerhouse
right.
singer, I sing in one of his choirs.
He sings with Kari McClelland, right?
He does, yes, yeah. That's right, in the trio, the Sojourners.
Mm-hmm. The Sojourners, and, with Kari McClelland.
Yes, yeah, exactly, yeah. And so... I know Marcus through that, as well as singing in one of his local choirs. And he was saying on the subject of Eleanor Collins that it was an honor long overdue.
Yes. Well, here's the deal, Siobhan. From what I've found out from digging deeper into the situation, I've read, in fact, a book called The Cellar on underground local Vancouver jazz. And it appears that although some other local jazz players were recorded and got to record, tragically, Eleanor Collins never made a record from that whole period, you know, in the 50s and then in the 60s. And, you know,
really?
Incredibly unjust.
Wow, I had no idea that that was the case.
I
would have thought, at the very least, her televised episodes would have been archived, and certainly some of those would have contained her singing, so at least those records still exist.
Yes, one would hope, and I'll have to dig into it further, that there's some kind of a record, although I did read an article that mentioned that outside of the Charles Mingus live CBC broadcast, because he played at the Cellar, the local underground club, and then he did a CBC broadcast, apparently some of them have been lost because it's so old.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That would be tragic.
Yeah.
I really hope that that's not the case in relation to some of her earlier works, to be sure, because, what a legacy.
Yes.
A rich and fabulous legacy.
Yes, absolutely. Well, one song that's not lost because it was in a film, and you may be aware of this, that she performed on her variety show, Bambula, A Day in the West Indies, is something actually that you can watch on YouTube. And perhaps we should just take a quick break because it's only a minute, 20 minutes long. And play this Eleanor Collins in respect and love to her and the legacy locally that she left. And let's pray and hope that more of those radio shows and recordings she did make somehow have been saved, and this valuable lost history has not been lost.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, let's come back in 2 minutes, David.
All right. Siobhan Barker, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, David.
Motown's most
the haunting voice of local jazz legend Eleanor Collins. Siobhan, are you out there? Siobhan, are you there?
I'm here.
I'm just getting to know this technology. This is all new to me. This is like new digital technology that I have to get with the action.
Can you hear me?
Yes, indeed. I can hear you. Amazingly, this new digital technique does actually work.
All right. Well, I'm traveling, so the audience knows what's going on. I am traveling inside and outside the Fox Cabaret.
I see.
Located at 2321 Main Street.
Main and Broadway.
Main and Broadway, virtually. Yeah. And it's the opening to the Growing Room Festival, which runs for the next 10 days throughout Vancouver. And so I'm doing double duty tonight, co-hosting with David and attending the opening ceremony.
Amazing.
for a festival that I'm a part of as one of the local writers that have been and authors that have been invited to share works.
Will you be reading any of your work from your published work?
In this particular festival, I'm not sure if I probably will. I will read some of my published works, most definitely. I'm also going to be reading a few new works on Sunday, which is always exciting and a little daunting. You know, as we speak about singers and songwriters, right? The double duty of writing the songs as well as performing the songs, of course, is something that is dear to my heart in terms of my my writing background.
I know you're a really good performer, Siobhan.
thank you, David. Well, it's lovely to have that acknowledgement.
Perhaps you could tell the readers the name of the collected book of poetry that you were published in.
Yes. Well, one of the areas, the anthology that David's referring to is called The Great Black North, and that is an anthology that at the time was the first of its kind to collect and gather voices from across the Canadian African diaspora of everything from spoken word to verse poetry. And I have a very modest piece. I use that a bit ironically because it's anything but modest in terms of the tone of the piece.
Mm.
But short is what I mean. I have a shorter piece in the anthology. Very, very pleased to be a member of one of the wonderful collection of writers published there. And that team was spearheaded by Kavon Cameron, who gathered us to submit works to include in that wonderful anthology. It's also, I'm very pleased to say, used in some schools in Western Canada.
Wow.
In the senior grades as a study piece.
That's great. Well, perhaps you could fill the listeners in. I mean, I've been attending some Black community meetings, and of course, I've been working on a documentary on Black musical history myself. But
yes,
one thing I noticed was there's been a lot of new things going on in the Black community. I mean, perhaps you could fill the listener in. I mean, like, say, the new community center and the low-income housing.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Well, I'm sure people had a chance to see that last Sunday, the facility, the Nora Hendricks temporary housing unit, which housed 52 previous single individual people in need, with an emphasis on members of the Black and persons of color communities from within our area.
Mm-hmm.
And that was named after Nora Hendricks, who was grandmother to the famous Jimi Hendricks, who for many, many years operated a vibrant business in the area.
Vi's Steakhouse?
And previously the area known as Hogan's Alley, which housed the Black community of Vancouver, which was displaced when the viaduct was put in and people were pushed out of the city the viaduct going up and the financial reason in relation to not being able to secure housing inside the same inner Vancouver area.
Do you think that there's a lot of powerful and creative people coming together in the Black community now to make this happen?
Do I think? Yes, there are. I mean, I'm... a fledgling member of the Hogan Valley Society. I've participated in a number of focus groups that have run over the last few years, and in earlier days participated in a number of arts-based festivals that featured and focused on the Hogan Valley history and the rich contributions of community members from within the African-Canadian diaspora.
And there will be a community center in the Hogan Valley area after the viaduct comes down, correct?
That's correct, yes. And it's a wonderful structure that's looking at what the community needs are in terms of supporting small businesses, in terms of supporting artists and families. And the city also has plans for a new hospital going up in that area. So it's really going to change the scope of how the neighborhood is looked at and bringing back some of the history that was lost with the viaduct going in and the displacement all those years ago.
Well, what I read, Siobhan, in this local book on the Cellar Jazz, which was a club that ran, underground jazz club that ran until 63, and what I read was that in 62, there was 860 black people in the entire city. Have you read that?
No, I have not read that particular volume. Yeah. Certainly, I'm not sure. I mean, the statistics have always been low.
Yeah.
And, it's always sort of a point of discussion.
Oh, right, say, right. With the black porters and such.
Well, no. I mean, the black porters, because of its proximity to the train station, is how it came about that neighborhood became the black neighborhood of the city.
Right.
Because the porters, the trains let off near Pryor. And so it became a natural happenstance that people would have their housing close to where people were working on the train lines. No, what I was referring to was the fact that the population numbers, when gathered in a statistical manner, have always favored showing things like 3%. As the total number of any given population in terms of people of African descent. And when we look at these percentages, the percentages are low to the point that people think that there isn't a presence, that there isn't, people will joke, oh, there's no black people here and such. And that I find that kind of talking does a disservice to the community, both whether it's perpetrated by us or by others.
Yes.
In the sense that the representation and the honoring of history is one that does not mitigate erasure because of statistical numbers. That's
right.
Now that they've been erased and the numbers are low, there's no need to honor or validate this history because now the numbers are low and it's the behavior that created the erasure in the first place.
Absolutely. I mean, I would only look at that possible statistic on approximately how many black people are here just in terms with culturally the impact of the people that were here had on what was going on. Like, for instance, at that time, there was a club called the Harlem Nocturne, which was a predominantly black club Mike Taylor's house band. Ernie King was the owner, and he was a musician around Canada before that.
I remember meeting him. He was one of the first people... the first collection of people that I met when I moved to the city.
Wow.
They used to run. He was connected to Sepia Players. I wrote a research piece on the history of early black writers and artists in relation to the Hogan's Alley area that ran. It ran in, I can't remember what issue it was, but it was generated and published in the Canadian Theatre Review. But I also did a whole circuit of touring Canada.
Oops, sorry.
Speaking on that piece.
Yeah. I should just interject one sec. You're listening to African Rhythms here on CITR 101.9 FM, UBC Radio. Just got to get the digits in there.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yes. Especially on International Women's Day, it's significant to make mention of, how long the community has been working towards acknowledgements in different regards, like you mentioning Eleanor Collins, other phenomenal people, not from the same era, but certainly known to the music performance community, like Lovie Ely, who recently, not too recently, passed away, singer and performer.
Yeah, well, Rosalind Keane, too, was around a long time.
Yeah. So it's notable to keep track of especially when you mention things like records not having been cut.
Yes. Well, Eleanor Collins. I mean, you look into the whole thing, Siobhan. I mean, perhaps you can make a comment. I mean, Eleanor Collins coming here in the 30s, originally her ancestors would have taken the free land that was offered, which wasn't actually free land. It was a lot of First Nation and people were on it, so it wasn't free.
It was not at all.
Yeah.
It was presented. I mean, that's another subject of erasure of indigenous peoples, really, because, I mean, here is a people, African-American people, trying to escape the oppression, racism,
Jim Crow,
persecution of the Americas, coming to Canada and being, having this sort of these parcels of land dangled like as if they were empty, when we know full well that they were, contributing to the erasure of indigenous people, that the land was not empty, that the land was, in stewardship to the nations that were already there. And so, African-Americans came and settled land that definitely was not empty, as was presented time and again.
Yes. Well, regardless, some of them survived and prospered. And in the case of Eleanor Collins, perhaps you can make a comment of her in the 30s coming to Burnaby, BC, and into an all-white neighborhood. And at first, they objected to her actually moving to the area, frankly.
Well, I mean, that's I can't comment specifically on Eleanor Collins' experience, but I know that my own parents, two people of visibly of African descent parents, both of mixed heritage. I myself am, visibly of African descent, also mixed heritage. And, I know that when they bought their house in Windsor, Ontario, oh so many years ago, gosh, that would have probably been in the late 50s or 60s, they had to actually get white friends to make the purchase, because they would not have been able to make the purchase of their own house.
Yes.
And it was only after the purchase went through that it was then revealed that they were, in fact, the owners of the house, and that who would be living in the neighborhood. And the neighbors that is not a new thing, that pushback. People think that Canada was a bastion of acceptance and I don't like this word particularly, but tolerance. And Canada had slavery. Canada was fraught with, and still is fraught with, racial discrimination and injustice. And it does a disservice to the people that have lived through those experiences and pushed back against the oppression suffered to ignore or erase the fact that those were the realities.
Well, don't you see Eleanor Collins as kind of a pioneer? I mean, she moves to Burnaby into a white neighborhood. Perhaps some object, but then she's a teacher and she teaches music in the community. And she slowly started to win people over in the 50s, getting her own TV show. But, you know, later she has...
She definitely was.
Yeah.
She definitely was a pioneer. No question about it. She, my understanding as well was that she had a very mixed cast on her show, which I'm sure would have been pushing quite a bit, because keep in mind that it was all well and good to watch black folk sing and dance, but it was not readily accepted to see them doing that with white artists.
Right.
You know, there was a pushback around that as well. So, I'm sure she was most definitely a pioneer and a forerunner in her field, and she deserves to be recognized and remembered for all of her contributions.
Well, if you just look, I mean, reading in this book I was reading again on The Cellar, they talk about a couple of incidents in Vancouver that black people, musicians, were not welcome at the Hotel Vancouver. Even the Cave nightclub, the band was all white. Later, Jason Hoover and Eleanor Collins actually played at the Cave, as well as Eleanor Collins would play some more prestigious gigs. And I think that part of her being a woman, perhaps also she was into some discrimination, being that some local men, Canadian musicians, were recorded. Why would somebody who was such a good draw at the clubs and so good never have an album? You know,
it's a mystery to me, most definitely, David. I am going to let you put us into a little musical interlude for a bit, so I can get inside and warm up.
What I'm going to do is, here is another artist, and she was on TV shows in 66, 67 with Jason Hoover doing her own stuff. And Jason felt that she was going to be a star too, Lynn Brooks. And Jason reckons she was as better than he was in terms of overall her quality or whatever. So I think it's pretty fascinating that outside of a CBC TV show, she was never recorded. So let's check her out next and come back in 3 minutes. Okay. Okay. Listening to Siobhan Barker and David Love Jones here on African Rhythms Radio, and we are celebrating International Women's Day. Here is local 60s soul artist Lynn Brooks.
One of Motown's most impressive groups is the Supremes. They've been referred to as the world's top female vocal group. When this film was taken, they were breaking all records in Vancouver. They did the same when they headlined the Motown show in Paris. That's the story of Motown. It's the now sound that is winning converts all over the world. Berry Gordy Jr. and all of the Motown performers, they know they owe their success to the young people. And in an attempt to thank them, Motown has initiated many youth programs to give the kids a better break. That's Motown. And this is Let's Go Salute to their sound.
Baby love, my baby love, I need you, oh, I need your love. But all you do is treat me bad, break my heart and leave me sad. Wanna know what I did wrong to make you stay away so long. My baby love, been missing ya, been kissing ya. Instead of breaking up, let's start kissing and making up. Don't throw our love away. In my arms, I don't stay.
Now, rhythm and blues isn't strictly geographical. Two ingredients found in all blues aren't found on any map, soul and gospel. Lynn Brooks has got an awful lot of soul.
You got to trust you in time.
groups is the Supremes. They've been referred to as the world's top female vocal group. When this film was taken, they were breaking all records in Vancouver. They did the same when they headlined the Motown show in Paris. That's the story of Motown. It's the now sound that is winning converts all over the world. Berry Gordy Jr. and all of the Motown performers, they know they owe their success to the young people. And in an attempt to thank them, Motown has initiated many youth programs to give the kids a better break. That's Motown. And this is Let's Go Salute to their sound.
Now, rhythm and blues isn't strictly geographical. Two ingredients found in all blues aren't found on any map, soul and gospel. Lynn Brooks has got an awful lot of soul.
And that is Lynn Brooks, and that was locally made and nationally broadcast here in Vancouver on a TV show called Let's Go in the 60s. And there's several Supreme songs at Lynn Brooks. But Jason Hoover actually makes a comment about Lynn Brooks. Yeah, I think we played that. Yeah, so what an amazing singer. Of course, we were talking with Siobhan Barker, who's at an event down at the Fox Cabaret. She's going to try to recharge her phone. Of course, we're celebrating International Women's Day here on CITR 101.9 FM, CITR.ca. You can tune in a podcast, and the show is called African Rhythms Radio Special Edition. Here's Sarah Vaughan.
Sometimes I wonder where I'm going. When all my values are collapsing in my head, there really is no way of knowing tomorrow's city, tomorrow's city, tomorrow's city. I could only find someone to call my friend, but there's no help from my confusion. Tomorrow's city, tomorrow's city, tomorrow's city.
I just want to thank Siobhan Barker for calling in. I'm not sure if she'll be able to call back in again and say goodbye. I think her phone might have died. But we've also got some from 10 years ago, the daughter of the legendary soul singer from New York City, Linda Jones, phoned in.
Light that shines around me. It's not enough to show the steps that lie ahead. Out of the darkness that surrounds me, tomorrow city, tomorrow city, tomorrow city.
We're from the UBC Food Society.
Yummy!
And we're the only food club at UBC.
We're about feeding students, but also teaching them how to feed themselves. Through our restaurant outings and cooking workshops, we hope to expose you guys to the diversity of cultures, flavors, and food communities Vancouver has to offer.
So if you want to get involved, email us at foodsociety@gmail.com. Or check up on our website at www.ams.ubc.ca/clubs/foodsociety. Or you can even join our Facebook group.
So next on African Rhythms, from 10 years ago, this is Terry Jones phoning in, and you're going to get to learn all about the legend herself, Linda Jones.
Realizes when they were recording back then, you know, it, and the great thing about that,
wonderful music, and we're here to celebrate International Women's Day here on CITR 101.9 FM, UBC Radio, right here in Vancouver. And tonight, to celebrate International Women's Day, we've got a very, very special guest. Hi, Terry, are you out there?
Yes, I am.
And it's very nice to make your acquaintance, Terry. Now, where are you calling in from?
Actually, I'm calling in from Philadelphia.
And that's
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, pretty close to New York City and that part of the world, I believe.
Yes.
Well, listen now, Terry. You are the daughter, or one of the daughters, of a very famous soul singer, and her name is Linda Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Linda Jones, in case you listeners have not heard her before, is a phenomenal soul singer. She recorded in the 60s and early in 70s until her untimely death. And how old was she, Terry?
27.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so she was very sad, but she was suffering from diabetes.
Excuse me, yes, she was. Yes, she was a diabetic. Actually, it's something that actually runs in my family, and you know, she had it was five girls and five boys, and they all had diabetes. So, you know, that's just the history of the family, and that's the story.
Yeah, no, it's very sad. I mean, when you consider what a phenomenal talent Linda was, I mean, you know, by all indications, she could have very well been another Aretha, and of this great stature, just because of her incredible talent. And
Yep. You know, hey, like you said, she's a great talent and left too soon, but, you know, I'm proud to, you know, to talk about her legacy and what she leaves behind.
You say
Say when talking about her talents is George Kurtz.
Yes, who, yeah. Oh, actually, I'm glad that you bring him up because, you know, I hate to tell everyone, but I have to put the news out there. Is, you know, as far as I'm concerned, George Kurtz is a real crook because he pretty much have I haven't received one dime of royalties from my mom's works because he took it all. So
yeah,
you know, that's a whole nother story, and I really want.
Incredible Northern Soul track, Like TNT, Linda Jones, before that Hypnotized, the legendary track. Let's go back to Terry Jones.
Talking about that, I mean, like you said, we'll try to keep it largely positive.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the thing is this is community radio, and, you know, we can talk about these kind of things.
Okay,
you know?
And the fact that she really, really loved, you know, to sing. That was her thing, and,
yeah.
And she trusted a lot of people, and from what I understand, of course, he was one that she really, really trusted, and he took total advantage of her, especially the fact that she was diabetic, she was sick, and she was consistently giving her heart and soul in everything that she did because she loved it so much, and, you know, he didn't have her best interest at heart, so unfortunately, that's the downside of it, and
The downside of the musical business is that when you have talents as great as Linda, people want to exploit them, you know.
Yes,
and
yes.
You know, and if you're vulnerable, you're not particularly wise to the ways.
Yeah, you know, you just want to do your best, and you love it, and you want to continue to do it. So.
Yeah.
you know, even the rumors that she collapsed backstage at the Apollo and passed away backstage, which is totally false.
Yeah.
You know, she did not pass backstage. I mean, pass away backstage at the Apollo. She passed at home. So,
yeah,
so her birthday is wrong in all of the literature. You know, they have January 14th. She was born December 14th.
Yeah.
So there's a lot.
Wow.
You know, and I'm actually happy to really set the record straight and really put the truth.
No,
that's right.
The spirit of the music is where we're at. You know, I mean, we just want to share what a phenomenal singer your mother was. You know,
philerzy.com is the website, and you know, people can go on and kind of click on the downloads and click on, you know, Linda Jones and kind of sample a look. A few of them. It's just little snippets. It was her voice and her soul that really carried the song.
Powerful kind of groove going on, but she kind of holds something back and then unleashes it, you know, in suitable kind of a way. But I think that she obviously learned, you know, I mean, when she like won at the Apollo or whatever, I mean, obviously she learned how to perform. She learned how to, you know, draw an audience in. She learned the craft, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know really who she learned it from or how that all came about.
You know what? From what I understand and just from my family and everything, it's that was just a part of her, you know. Like I said, her passion was just incredible, and you know, it kind of, when you're listening to the records, it jumps off at, it jumps out at you, you know. It's what it is, and she there was no fear, you know, in her approach. She just
absolutely,
whatever came, that's what you got. So
yeah, it was a pure, natural, beautiful
girl. Very pure, very pure.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to David Love Jones. The show is African Rhythms, and of course, we're on CITR 101.9 FM.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's been really wonderful to have you on the show, Terry, and before I celebrate the rest of my International Women's Day show.
Okay, to just say thank you to all of the supporters and fans, and thanks for keeping my mom's music alive. And I'm really, really so appreciative of all of the fans.
Yeah, no,
okay?
Absolutely.
And please, if you want to check in periodically on the website, it's philerzy.com. That's philerzy.com. And join our email list. That way you'll get the snippets of whatever we release as we complete the product. Yes, and thank you so much, David, for your support. You have been fantastic and wonderful, and I look forward to us doing this again and premiering. Maybe I'll come visit you on the air. How
wow.
about that?
Oh, my God, I'd be so honored to.
Yes, because we will be doing a tour of the region, so I'm going to try to see if I can make that happen.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, any way I can help, you know I'm here for you.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
All right, well, listen, let's go out with a really haunting track, Stay With Me Forever, because this one just really grabs me. Yeah, I know.
One of my favorites.
The incredible Lydda Jones, and that was 10 years ago on International Women's Day, her daughter phoning in and talking about the legend. Look into her further online, Lydda Jones, outside of Aretha Franklin, one of the greatest ever soul singers. But we have Siobhan Barker back on the line. Oh, I guess we've lost her for one sec. She's going to call back. And just say goodbye to us. That was our Lydda Jones overview. And of course, before that, we featured some local Canadian singers. We started with Eleanor Collins, and then we heard the amazing Lynn Brooks, who has a very special talent herself, and never was recorded locally, although she was on multiple TV shows on Let's Go in the 60s, along with Jason Hoover, actually, on a few of them. I'm just going to get Siobhan to phone back now, and so we can... just say our goodbyes here on International Women's Day. We got to cover a bunch of subjects, like what's going on in the local Black community. And there's a lot of changes since that time that Eleanor Collins moved here, and later Lynn Brooks was around, and other local talented soul singers. And so here's Siobhan Barka. Hello, Siobhan.
Hi.
Hi there. Since you last called in, we've managed to overview another important woman in soul music, and I had her daughter phoning from Philadelphia to talk about the legacy of Linda Jones, who was a singer who died at 27 and suffered from diabetes. So it was very tragic, but very heartfelt. Aretha Franklin herself commented as to her talent, so that's pretty amazing.
And that was Linda Jones?
Yeah, Linda Jones is her name, and her daughter phoned in from Philadelphia 10 years ago on International Women's Day to talk about her mother's legacy.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful that she could call it again at the 10-year anniversary to be able to share, right?
She didn't call back. We just played some of the original interview.
Oh, wonderful then.
Yeah, no, it was. You know, it's I hope her legacy will reach some additional listeners, as do I hope that more people learn about Eleanor Collins and Lynn Brooks, the 60s soul singer who was here in Vancouver.
Oh, definitely. I'm sure people will feel inspired to do some individual and personal excavating of cultural truth that often get hidden. And it's a wonderful, as we take these opportunities, whether it's Black History Month, whether it's International Women's Day, or the upcoming Day for the Elimination of Racism on, I believe it's March 21st, then, you know, these are all just touchstone moments to inspire deeper investigation and deeper examination of truths that have long been hidden. So I've been so pleased to be able to share in tonight's broadcast.
Thank you.
The 2019 International Women's Day.
Yeah.
I hope that some of the listeners will come out to the Growing Room Festival, which, as I've mentioned multiple times, is running over the next 10 days between March 8th and March 17th.
Mm-hmm.
It's a feminist literary festival. There are too many venues to mention, but do look at festival.roommagazine.com, or they can just Google Growing Room, and you'll be able to find that many of the events performance evenings are monetarily accessible, in that tickets range from free to paying what you can for admission. And those do need to be reserved through through the Eventbrite site, but they are accessible to the venues are accessible, and the ticket pricing is accessible. So I do hope that people feel encouraged to investigate some of the local happenings that are going on in the next 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that, Siobhan. I appreciate, you know, how involved you are with the local community. And it seems like you're always helping and involving yourself with important local goings on. And even me as a person, you know, you encourage me to go out more, to meet people more, to be more social. And I appreciate all those things.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's an opportunity. And a lot of the, or I should say many of the writers are people that are also writing in relation to musical performance. Although this is a literary festival, the writers themselves write for performance pieces, but they also write in relation to the music that they create. So there's a lot of crossover to be honored in supporting the artists that are contributing.
Well, I would
different days.
That's great. Well, I would say that, you know, at African Rhythms, we always strive to play a lot of inclusion of enough women's music and women's side of jazz, soul, and Latin that we play. And also on African Rhythms Radio, every month is Black History Month. There's no one month of the year. It's all the time. And so when it's International Women, it's also Black History, you know.
Well, so. I'm happy to be here with everyone this evening on the 2019 March 8th celebration of International Women's Day. I extend a personal invitation to listeners to come out on March 10th, Sunday, March 10th, to hear me perform at 7:30.
That'll be tomorrow night, right? Or Sunday night?
Sunday
yeah.
night.
Yeah.
So look online for tickets. And thank you, David, for inviting me to be on the show again with you. Co-hosting this special episode remotely and via our fabulous digital technology.
Yes, absolutely, Siobhan.
Good night.
I look forward to seeing you again soon, and thank you so much for playing a very vital collaboration.
Oh, thank you. All right, well, have a good evening.
Awesome. You too, Siobhan. Have a great night. And thanks, Siobhan. And here on African Rhythms, we're going to go out with Finley Ella Fitzgerald. And this is her tribute to the Beatles, Ringo Beat, on International Women's Day. And I hope you had a really good one. And check out Siobhan Barker online, her book of collected poetry and that she's in, and future projects coming for that incredibly creative woman, and many community events in the local Black community. Siobhan is a very powerful part, and she plays her own part, sometimes in the background, sometimes in the foreground. But we're going to go out with Ella Fitzgerald. Happy International Women's Day to everybody. Thank you to CITR allowing me to host this show, and peace and love to you.
Starts that beat. The kids started screaming and stomping their feet. It's the younger generation's kind of rhythm. So don't be a creep, come on and get with them. It's the Ringo Beat. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the Ringo Beat. Yeah, yeah. It's the Ringo Beat. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the Ringo Beat. Yeah, yeah. It started back with Elvis and his hips and guitar. Chubby Checker went a twisting and became a star. Then along came a drummer with the Beatles four. He beat a kind of rhythm and they clamored for more. Now that Ringo beat, yeah, yeah, yeah. That Ringo beat, yeah, yeah. That Ringo beat, yeah, yeah, yeah. That Ringo beat, yeah, yeah. Remember when Krupa was a drummer boy? We shouted and hollered and jumped for joy. We stood in line for the Paramount show, and all we could holler was, go, go, go. No doubt about it, there's a new sensation. He started a rhythm for the younger generation. So don't knock the rhythm of the kids today. Remember, they're playing the Ringo way.
There's only one way that old clunker is going to make you feel good again. Donate it to Bullying Canada. Check this out. Free towing or pickup of your old vehicle, a tax-deductible receipt, and a super easy process. Online at bullyingcanada.ca. Get rid of that old vehicle and feel good about supporting real solutions for change in your community. Donate your old or used vehicle to Bullying Canada today. Full details online at bullyingcanada.ca.
Join us in celebrating the 48th year partnership between UBC and the United Way of the Lower Mainland. Our goal this year is to help 40,000 people in our community. Make sure to visit unitedway.ubc.ca to learn about us, our events, and how to get involved, because together, we are possibility.